All right, we're gonna get started. How's y'all summer been going? Has it been going well?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you guys ready for school?
No.
Summer.
When do you guys start school? You started school yesterday? Oh wow.
Did you get out earlier?
Are you homeschooled? Or are you okay? That makes sense. Well, you'll get out a lot earlier than these guys, so. Yeah, that's true. You start tomorrow? Oh man. So wait. You start tomorrow?
I don't know.
I start on the 13th.
Cause you still have camp to go to.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
And then when school's back in spring, our family goes early.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Summer school and then vacation.
So you go to vacation in September?
Yes.
Oh, that's so fun. It's a good idea. All right. Hey, a few announcements. This Wednesday, we are not meeting because we have a pool party. Okay? So we're meeting at the pool. Yeah. So the Edge in Ellisville, okay? The Edge Aquatic Center in Ellisville. So you just take Clarkson Road all the way down past Manchester, and it's on your left-hand side, okay? We'll be there from 7:45 to 9:45, okay? It's always a fun time. I'll bring a football. We'll hang out. We'll play football in the pool. There's those massive slides. There's diving boards that we could do a belly flop competition. For some reason, always Peyton Aksemit wins every year. So someone needs to dethrone Peyton. Because he's... Oh, because we just want to see how red your stomach gets. Mitch, are you good at a belly flop?
I'll watch it.
Yeah, Logan. So that's Wednesday. We get the pool to ourselves. It's just our church. So have your family come, bring your friends. It's a lot of fun. And then we're not meeting here. Wednesday we'll be at the pool. And then Friday we leave for camp, launch camp. So make sure you're here at 1 o'clock, Friday afternoon. And we're going to leave by 2 o'clock. So we got 5 days. So make sure you pack. Make sure you get ready. And make sure you get there on time. A few more things. August 13th, we're back to our regular Wednesday nights. We're going to do one more night where we're all together, and then we're going to split in groups again. Okay, so we'll have the middle school group and the high school group.
Wait, did you just memorize this?
What?
Did you just memorize all that? Or
oh, yeah.
Looking at your...
No, it's just all in my mind. Because I work with it every day. So it's promotion Sunday today, yeah.
For a new job.
Yeah. That's good. So yeah, that's what the next couple weeks look like. So yeah, we're gonna have a great time. And we have one more week in this Proverbs study. How many of you guys have actually been able to use the Proverbs study and do it? Okay, a few of you, okay, awesome. Today we're gonna go through some of it, but I also created a little, what's this called? Like a chart, there you go. A chart for you as we walk through what it looks like, kind of what the difference is between foolish counsel and godly counsel. Yeah.
Do you happen to have another binder?
Maybe. I don't think I do.
I wasn't here when you guys got it.
Oh. I don't think I do have one. I'll look around.
Okay.
And if I have one, I'll give it to you next Sunday or Wednesday or whatever. But yeah, so we're on week number 6, right? Week number six, getting godly counsel, okay? So how many of you have seen the movie? I love using movies as illustrations. So how many of you guys have seen the movie Cars? Okay, great movie. Everyone's seen it, right? Okay. So at the beginning of the movie, what does Lightning McQueen say as they kind of entry?
I am speed.
Yeah, I am speed, yeah. Okay. So that's kind of Lightning McQueen's his like mantra. Okay, that's the thing he says. He has speed. But in the first Cars movie, if you've all seen it, he's a hotshot rookie who thinks he can win it all by himself. He doesn't think he needs any help. He doesn't think he needs a team. He doesn't think he needs a pit crew. Just him and the finish line, and he thinks he can win everything. But we learn quickly in the movie, in that big race at the beginning, that Lightning makes a critical decision, and one that will cost him the race. He ignores his pit crew's advice to do what? Anyone remember?
To change tires,
yeah.
And then they quit.
To change tires, and then they quit. Yeah, they left the job because he thought he knew it all. He thought he didn't need any help, didn't need his pit crew, anything like that. He refuses to get those new tires. He wants to win his way, and so without slowing down or trusting in anyone, he continues on. But on that last lap, the tire pops, and he's kind of in the middle of the track, kind of halfway done with the lap. His tire blows, he limps across the finish line in a three-way tie, and his plan totally backfires on him. And so as I was thinking about that, this concept of getting godly counsel and applying this movie scene to this, what we're going to be talking about today, I began to ask myself, why on earth would he do this? Why would he try to go out on his own? Why would he fail to win? I mean, he was, a lap in front of everyone else? He failed to win, first of all, because he refused wise counsel from people who were experts who were trying to help him win in the right way by getting his tires fixed and stopping, before the last couple laps. But things didn't stop there. I mean, throughout the movie, we saw Lightning's refusal to listen, which gets him stranded in Radiator Springs, where he has to learn rather slowly, as we've seen in the movie, that life isn't just about winning. Life isn't just about himself. It's more about using the relationships around you, being humble, using the wise voices around you to help you out, to help you live your life. So a lot of us, like Lightning McQueen, we live like him. We think that we've got this. We think that we've got our lives figured out. We rely on our own instincts or listen to friends who tell us what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. But Proverbs says something completely different than that. Proverbs 12:15 is kind of like the main verse for this this topic. And it says this: the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. He thinks he's right in his own eyes. He thinks he can do it his own way. But it goes on to say, but a wise man listens to advice. So who you listen to will shape the direction of your life. If you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, if you want to grow in biblical wisdom, if you want to grow in your character, if you want to grow in your faith, you need more than just your own eyes, what you see in your own eyes. You need to seek godly counsel as you walk through things in your life. In the book of Proverbs, it gives us a clear picture of two kinds of counsel. It gives us a picture of foolish counsel, and it gives us a picture of wise counsel. Today we're going to look at 8 key areas where that difference shows up, and it asks us, who are you listening to? Who are you seeking counsel from? So we're going to walk through this table, okay? We're going to read every verse, and we're going to talk about every verse, and I'm going to have you guys kind of come up with the answers of what do these passages talk about, according to foolish counsel? What does it talk about according to godly and wise counsel? So the first category I want to talk about this morning is the source of counsel. So where you're getting your counsel from. So let's turn to Proverbs 12:5. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 5. And we're going to go around the room. I have Jolly Ranchers. I brought them because I'm trying to get rid of them. But... because I want to get a new bag for the fall. for Wednesday nights. So if you read for me, you get a Jolly Rancher. And we're just going to have everyone read. And you can choose to read first if you want to. Proverbs 12, verse 5. Who wants to read? Jackson, you have your hand up. Can you read that nice and loud for us?
The thoughts of the righteous are just. The counsels of the wicked are deceitful.
Okay, awesome. Before we move on from this, what is this? What does this tell us about our source of counsel? It talks about really the two sources we're looking at, foolish and godly counsel. But what does it tell us about the sources of our counsel? Any thoughts?
That the righteous are just.
Yeah.
And the wicked are evil.
Yeah, that the righteous are just and the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Proverbs 13:20. Here you go. You probably don't want a purple. You want a blue?
Yeah.
All right, I'll give it to you. Proverbs 13:20. Someone have that? Who wants to read that? Noah, nice and loud for us.
Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm.
All right. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. So what does that tell us about our source of counsel? Here you go, Noah. Yep. No, that was a good snack.
Depends who you're around.
Depends who you're around, okay. Yeah.
If you're around wise people, you become wise, but if you're around foolish people, you become foolish.
Yeah. What else does it say there? It talks about a group of fools. If you're around a group of fools, you will suffer harm. So, yeah, just being aware of who you're walking with. If you walk with the wise, you become wise. If you walk with the foolish, you will become foolish. You will suffer harm. Let's do Proverbs 11:14. Who can read that for me? Logan, nice and loud.
Where there is no guidance, the people fall, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory.
Yeah, where there's no guidance, if people falls, but an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Okay, what does that tell us about our source of counsel? It talks about kind of the amount of counsel that the different groups are getting, the foolish are getting compared to the wise or the godly. What is the amount of counsel that the foolish are getting? What was that?
None.
They're not getting any, yeah. Whoever, where there is no guidance of people falls. What does it say about the wise person or the godly person? What kind of counsel are they seeking? What's their... It says in that second part.
Abundance.
Yeah, abundance. Yeah. One more verse, and then we'll write down our answers, okay? One more verse. Proverbs 15:22, sorry. Yes, Emmett.
Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed.
Yeah, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Yeah, awesome. What does that tell us about our source of counsel? Very similar to the last verse. The foolish will seek what kind of counsel?
Deceitful.
Deceitful. But they'll, according to this verse, it says, the first part, the foolish will seek what kind of counsel?
No.
No counsel at all. But the wise will seek many advisors. Yeah, so thinking about the foolish counsel from those four verses, okay? Thinking about how can we summarize the source of counsel for the foolish? Anyone want to give a stab at it? Who are the foolish seeking counsel from?
No one.
No one, okay? So we can say, this is what I've said, so you can write this down. From no counsel to the wicked and foolish. So from no counsel to the wicked and foolish. So from no counsel, they don't get counsel at all, to the counsel of the wicked and the foolish. That's the foolish counsel. That's their source of counsel. How about the godly and wise counsel? What's their source? So if the source of the foolish is no counsel, all the way to the wicked and the foolish counsel, what kind of counsel do the godly and the wise seek after? Where is their source from? What's the opposite? Yeah. Yeah, they seek lots of wise and godly counsel. That's great. Pretty much what I exactly said. From an abundance of wise and righteous voices, I said. From an abundance of wise and righteous voices. So first blank there in your table is from no counsel to the wicked and foolish. And then the godly counsel is from an abundance of wise and righteous voices. You can write that down. From an abundance of wise and righteous voices. All right, so that's the source of counsel. We want to look at the character of the counselor that we are to seek. Let's turn to Proverbs 14:7. Proverbs 14:7. Let's have one person turn to each one of those passages. Who's got Proverbs 14:7? Mitchell, wait to read it. Who wants Proverbs 12:15? Lewis, read that one. Who wants Proverbs 1:5? Jacob, read that one. And 13:10, Adam. All right, Proverbs 14:7. Mitchell, can you read it nice and loud for us?
Leave the presence of a fool, for there you do not need words of knowledge.
Awesome. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Proverbs 12:15.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to their advice.
Awesome. Proverbs 1:5. Jacob.
Give us a second.
Okay, you're fine. Awesome. And then Proverbs 13:10, Adam.
By influence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom.
Okay. Now those of you who are read, help us out, but what kind of character of counselor are we looking for? What is the foolish looking for in some of those verses?
Right in his own eyes.
Right in their own eyes, yeah. I put down they're looking for flattery, something that can say words to them or counsel to them that they like to hear, that they want to be built up in. They seek counsel. The foolish seeks counsel from the arrogant, from the prideful, and from the disunifying. So I said flattery, arrogant, and disunifying for the foolish counsel. So the character of the counsel for the foolish counsel is flattery, arrogant, and disunifying. How about the godly counsel? Who are the godly and the wise seeking in the character of their counselor? From those verses, anyone want to take a stab at it? If the foolish counsel is flattery, arrogant, and disunifying, what do you think the opposite then is going to be? What's the opposite of arrogant? Yeah.
I was going to say constructive.
Constructive, yeah. Yeah, not just saying what they want to hear,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. What else? What's the opposite of arrogant? What's the opposite of prideful?
Humble.
Humble, yeah. So really here I say the godly are seeking a counselor who is humble, who is wise, and who is, and really this is kind of more on the counselee, someone who's teachable. Humble, wise, and teachable. Even in the counselor, someone who is teachable is what you want to seek. So flattery, arrogant, and disunifying. For the foolish, for the godly, you're looking for humble, wise, and teachable. All right, motive behind advice. Motive behind advice. Someone turn to Proverbs. Actually, I didn't pass out Jolly Ranchers. Here you go. Jacob.
Hey, Adam.
Adam, here you go.
You're going to.
Awesome. Proverbs 16:29. Can someone read that for me? Noah, read that one. Someone read Proverbs 6:16-19. Yes, Zach. And then someone read Proverbs 10:17. Someone who hasn't read. Yeah, Samuel. Awesome. Proverbs 16:29. Noah, can you read that nice and loud?
A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good.
Awesome. How about Proverbs 6:16-19? Zach?
There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, and no one sows discord among brothers. And one who sows discord among brothers.
Awesome, thank you. And then Samuel, Proverbs 10:17.
Whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray.
Awesome, that's an important one. Whoever heeds instruction or seeks instruction or goes out of his way to look for instruction is on the path to life, but he who rejects reproof or correction leads others astray. So, the motive behind counsel, for the foolish counsel is, I'll just give you these ones, destruction. Proverbs 6 talked about that destruction, manipulation, they're manipulating you, and self-serving. That's the motive behind foolish counsel. The motive behind godly and wise counsel is protective. They want to protect you. They want to instruct you in the way of the Lord. And they want to give life instead of destroy. So for the foolish counsel, it is destructive. It is manipulative. And it is self-serving. For the godly and wise counsel, it's protective, it's instructive, and it's life-giving. All right, how it's received. I need some more readers. Proverbs 7. Who's got that one? Proverbs 7. Yes, Logan. Actually, I need to give Jolly Ranchers. Here we go. Who is it? Noah. It was Zach. And it was Samuel. Awesome. All right, Proverbs 7:21. I have two more Jolly Ranchers, so the next two people who want to read for me get Jolly Ranchers. Proverbs 7:21-23. Who's got that one? All right, Logan. Proverbs 7:21-23. Proverbs 27:6. You got that, Emmett? And then Proverbs 28:23. Matthew, if you got that one. Let's go Logan first. Logan, Proverbs 7.
With her many persuasion, she entices him with her flattering lips. She seduces him, and suddenly he follows her, and as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one and bitters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, so he doesn't know that will cost him his life.
Awesome. So this is talking about Solomon's warning his son against the adulteress, against really someone who is trying to lure him into sexual temptation, okay? Or any type of temptation here, but speaking sexual temptation here. But what does this have to do about counsel, okay? How it's received specifically? So this adulteress is tempting this person. How is it received from the person? It says, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. What does that say about how it's received from a person? Speaking of the words persuading and compelling, how is it received? Any thoughts there? Is it hard to receive? Is her smooth talk and seductive speech hard to receive? No, it's easily received. That's my point here. How is it received from the foolish? It's easily accepted. It's something that really their sinful desire wants. What was it?
They
want to
hear.
They want to hear, yeah. Yeah, perfect. Proverbs 27:6. Can someone read that for us? Yes, Emmett.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Okay, so what does that talk about how counsel is received?
Jacob, you should know, buddy.
What?
Do you know Jacob?
I'm copying
down. Okay. Read that one more time for us, Emmett. Listen to how it's received, okay? How counsel is received.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy.
Okay, so how are the words of a friend received? Yeah.
Like wounds,
yeah. They could be, it's going to be difficult for them to speak some of these things or to confront about sin in your life, but it's from a friend who loves you. And so it's going to be difficult to hear, but it's for your good and for, yeah, exactly what we talked about this morning, right? Yeah, good. How about for the other is, wait, let me go to that passage, make sure it does talk about 27:6. Okay, how about for the foolish person? How is it received? Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. What does that mean?
Their words are received like it's affection, but it's not out of a place of affection.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Proverbs 7 was talking about, it's easily accepted. It's, just like kisses, like it says. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Yeah. How about Proverbs 28:23? Can someone read that? I think it's Matthew, right?
Whoever rebukes a man will afterwards be more favored than he who flatters with his tongue.
All right. Very similar to what the last verse says, but talking about a rebuke of a man will afterward find more favor than he, this is the foolish counsel, flatters with his tongue. Here, Matthew, you haven't gotten one yet. I'll give you, it's purple. It's the last ones I have. And then who is the, Logan, or no, who read?
Logan.
All right, who wants it, purple? I'll give it to Marcus, because Marcus hasn't got one yet.
You gotta read.
Marcus will read. He'll read another one coming up here. All right, so how is counsel received from the foolish side? It's easily accepted. It's easy to hear. How about for the godly wise counsel? We talked about it a little bit, talking about Proverbs 27:6. How is it received from the godly and wise counsel? Yeah.
They're like careful about it.
Okay, they're careful about it. Yeah. Yeah. They're careful about it in their approach to giving that counsel, but it's difficult to hear, right? It's difficult to hear because it may be about a sin issue that you're struggling with, but ultimately it will lead to life. So that's what I said. So for the foolish counsel, it's easily accepted. For the godly and wise counsel, it's difficult, but will lead to life. So next point here, where it leads, it should be, are you on the back page yet or still on the front page? Should be on the back page. Where it leads. All right, we're going to read through these pretty quickly. Can someone read Proverbs 19:3? Marcus, can you read that for us? How about Proverbs 3:1-2? Lewis, can you read that? And then Proverbs 19:20. Yes, Alex. So, Marcus, can you read Proverbs 19:3?
When a man's a folly brings his away to ruin, his heart rage against the Lord.
Okay, so what are the results of foolish counsel? What's the result of foolish counsel based on that passage? It leads to what?
Rage against God.
Rage against God and ultimately to ruin, okay? So those are your points for foolish counsel. It results in rage and in ruin. Results in rage and ruin. How about Proverbs 3:1-2? Lewis.
My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you.
Awesome. How about wise counsel? Speaking from wise counsel from the Word of God, what does that result in? It's at the very end of that verse. It leads to?
Long life.
It leads to life. It results in life. How about Proverbs 19:20? Alex.
Listen to advice and assess
Yeah, that you may gain wisdom and what was that last word? And future, yeah. So godly counsel leads to, it results in life and peace. So foolish counsel results in rage and ruin. Godly counsel results in life and peace. Do you see kind of the clear difference between the two? Foolish counsel is completely different than wise and godly counsel. I mean, you could go through all of these and it's just the complete opposite. From no counsel to an abundance of wise counsel. From flattery, arrogant, and disunifying to humble, wise, and teachable. From destruction to protection. From manipulation, manipulation to instructive. From self-serving to life-giving. It's easily accepted. It's difficult, but it leads to life. It results in rage and ruin, but wise counsel results in life and peace. We have the last four here, companions chosen. Let's go to Proverbs 13:20. Who can turn there? Emmett, can you read that one? Proverbs 27:17, and then Noah, read that one. Emmett, can you read the first one, Proverbs 13:20?
Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm.
All right, so who are the companions that the wise pick? We'll do that first. It said that there in the very beginning. Who do the wise walk with?
The light.
What?
The light.
They walk with the light, but specifically in this passage, read that one more time, Emmett.
Whoever walks with the wise become wise.
Yeah, stop there, yeah. Whoever walks with the what?
The wise.
The wise become wise, okay? So the godly and wise counsel, their companions are the wise, so they walk with the wise. That's what I put there. Walk with the wise. The godly and wise counsel walk with the other wise and godly. How about the the fools compared to that passage? Who are the companion of fools? Who do they hang around with? What does it say there, Emmett?
But the companion of fools will suffer harm.
Okay. Who are the companion of fools? Actually, let's read Proverbs. Well, we'll hang on to that for a second. Who do the fools hang out with?
Other fools?
Other fools, yeah. Plain and simple. So if the godly and the wise walk with other godly and wise people, foolish people will walk with other fools. They'll hang with other fools. So those are your two blanks. Foolish counsel will hang with other fools. Godly counsel will walk with the wise. And then Noah, read Proverbs 27:17.
Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another.
Awesome. Iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. Really, whoever you're walking alongside with will impact you in one way or the other, whether that's a foolish way or whether that's a godly and wise way. Watch who you walk with. Watch who you hang out with, okay? Because really, they're going to have a lot of impact on your life. All right, three more. Teachable spirit. Teachable spirit. Someone read Proverbs 15:12. 15:12. Zach, can you read that one? Proverbs 9:9. Who's got that? Adam, you got that one? Proverbs 19:20. Who's got that one? And then Noah, can you read that? Zach, can you start us off? Proverbs 15:12.
A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise.
Awesome. So what does that tell us about foolish counsel? Are they teachable? No, they're not going to go to any counsel, okay? They hate correction. That's what I said here in my point. They hate correction and they mock instruction. We're going to hear that in another verse. Adam, can you read 9:9?
Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning.
Okay, so what does this verse tell us about the godly and wise counsel? Are they teachable? Yeah. What does it also say about the godly and wise counsel? Give instruction to a wise man, and he will what?
Increase in learning.
He will increase in learning. Teach a righteous man, and he will, he will still be wiser. Yeah. So the wise man loves correction. They seek out instruction. They are very teachable. And then Noah, read Proverbs 19:20 for us.
Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future.
Yes, listen to advice, accept instruction so you may gain wisdom in the future. So the foolish are not teachable at all. Okay, they hate correction. They hate being told what to do. They hate being rebuked. And if you point out a sin in their life, they hate it. And they mock instruction. When you teach them things, they mock it. But the godly and the wise person, they love correction. They love that rebuke. They love when you point out a sin in their life, they love it because they want to be more like Christ. They seek out instruction in their life. That's the godly versus the foolish. Foolish hate correction. They mock instruction. Godly love correction, and they seek instruction. It's complete opposite of each other. Last two. What are the speech patterns of these different counsels? Proverbs 10:18. Who's got that one? Mitchell, can you read that? Alex, can you read 15:1? And then someone read, Alex, just grab 15:4 as well. So, read 15:1 and 15:4. And then Mitchell, can you read first? Proverbs 10:18.
The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool.
All right, what does this tell us about a foolish man's speech? Okay, tells us how he speaks. How does a foolish man speak?
Lies.
Speaks lies. What else does it say about the foolish man's speech?
Conceals hatred.
Conceals hatred, yeah. So the foolish, they deceive, they gossip, they stir up conflict. They are more about spreading lies and rumors about people than they are about uplifting people, okay? They deceive, they gossip, they stir up conflict. That's my blank there. Deceive, they gossip, and they stir up conflict. And then Alex, read 15:1-4. And then verse 4. Is that verse 4?
No, that's verse 4.
Okay.
A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit.
Okay, what does this tell us about godly, wise speech patterns?
They give life.
What was it?
They give life.
It gives life, yeah. Yeah, the foolish, they tear down, they stir up conflict. The godly and the wise speech pattern, it gives life. I said it's honesty. You hear honesty from them. It's life-giving and it's peacemaking. So while the foolish deceive and they gossip, the wise are honest. While the foolish stir up conflict and or tear down people, the honest, the wise, the godly are life-giving and they're peacemaking. And lastly, reliability. Proverbs 25:19. Can someone read that? Noah, and then one more, 24:6. And then Lewis. Noah, can you start us off?
Trusting in a treacherous.
A treacherous, yep.
Treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips.
Okay, so what does that tell us about the reliability of a foolish person or of foolish counsel? It says, trusting in a treacherous man. What does a treacherous man mean? What does that word mean?
That they like betray you.
Yeah. Yeah, that they betray you, yeah. Trusting in a treacherous man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth or a foot that slips. What does a bad tooth do?
It hurts.
It hurts, okay. What do they ultimately do? They fall out, they break, yeah, okay. How about a foot that slips? If you step on a banana, you will slip, which is that reliable? If a foot that slips, if your foot has oil on it or Vaseline on it for some reason, I don't know why you'd have, or if you're playing a game at youth group, right, and you're on one of those tarps that we have with a bunch of baby soap, and you step on it, it's not a reliable surface, right? It's unstable, it's misleading because it looks reliable, but in reality it's not. That's the foolish counsel. Their reliability is very unstable, and it's very misleading. That's your blank there. Unstable and misleading is the reliability of a foolish counsel. But look at Proverbs 24:6. Who had that one? Was that you, Lewis? Can you read that for us? Proverbs 24:6.
For by wise guidance you can wage your war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory.
Awesome. So what does this tell us about the reliability of godly and wise counsel? If you're ready to wage war, what does that say about you? Are you unstable? Or are you, what's the opposite of unstable?
Stable.
Stable, okay, yeah. What's another word for stable?
Firm.
Firm, steady, right? So godly counsel, the reliability of godly counsel is trustworthy and steady. You can trust it. And it's steady. Awesome. All right, that's all I have for the table side of things, but I wanted to go into a few other things here. We're kind of completely out of time because I want to get to small group, but before you seek counsel from other people, who should you be going to first and foremost? God and his word, yeah. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There's many verses we could go to. But before you go to anyone for advice, before you go to friends, mentors, parents, you must first go to the Lord, okay? He is the source of all wisdom. If we skip going to the Lord, we may still get the advice that we need, but we risk missing out on a great opportunity to go to the Lord and seek him first. So imagine going to everyone else about, let's say you broke your phone, okay, which is tragic, okay, for most of you. If you broke your phone, if you shattered it in a million pieces, or if you dropped it in the ocean and you found it and it's broken and you can't fix it, but you go to everyone except for the person who can actually fix it. You go to your parents, you go to your mom who puts it in rice and it doesn't work. You go to the person in the mall who has this stand that says they can fix phones and they can't fix it. You go to everyone except for the manufacturer. You might get some help, but you won't get the best solution how to fix your phone. So the same thing is here. Really, if you are seeking advice, if you're seeking wisdom in some area of your life, go to the source, go to your designer, go to God who is your creator and designer. Go to him first and foremost and seek him. And so really the question is, how do we seek him? How do we get counsel from the Lord? I would say first and foremost, it's through prayer. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. Seek him through prayer. Seek him through his word. Go to the Proverbs. Proverbs is full of the wisdom of the Lord. And then go to the Spirit. Ask God to shape your heart to receive that very truth. And then I would also encourage you, we read this in the study this week, Acts 17:11. If you go there with me real quickly, Acts 17:11. Acts 17, verse 11. Someone read this for me. Actually, read verse 10 and 11. Who's there? Yeah, Jackson, can you read that for us?
The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by the night in Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in
Thessalonica, yeah.
They received the word with all eagerness, exclaiming the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
Okay, so after you go to the Lord and seek counsel from him through his word, through prayer, through seeking the Spirit, then you should be like a Berean, which is what this passage is all about, okay? You should be like a Berean. How do the Bereans gauge the counsel of others? So the counsel of others, they're gauging it. How do they do it? Or they examine the counsel? Yes?
Should
They compare it to the scriptures.
They compare it to the scriptures. Yes, they go to scripture and they compare it to the truth of scripture. Does the counsel that they're saying align with what scripture has to say? So when someone gives you counsel or wisdom, you must gauge it. You must examine it through scripture and scripture alone. And then also, I think the other point of that we need to focus on when talking about godly counsel is that you are giving advice. You are giving, you are a voice of wisdom to others if you like it or not. Whether that's foolishly or whether that's godly and wise, okay? You're not just someone who needs wise counsel. You're also someone who gives counsel, whether that's through the words that you say, through the influence that you provide, or by your example. So maybe think about questions like this. When your friends come to you with a problem, what kind of advice are you giving your friends? Are your words life-giving to them, or do they tear the person down? Do you gossip about someone, or do you build someone up? Would you say you're a source of wisdom, or would you say you're a source of drama? Really, those are the things you should be thinking about. And some other questions to be thinking about. Am I going to the Lord first for wisdom, or just the people who agree with me? If you're going to people who just agree with you, you're seeking the wrong kind of counsel. You're just hearing multiple voices telling you what you want to hear. You need someone in your life who will speak truth to you and who will love you enough to speak that truth to you, even if it's hard to hear. And then maybe even think about this question. Am I the kind of person others can trust to give godly advice, or just their opinions? So as we split up into our small groups, we're going to have just over maybe 15 minutes here in our small groups. Think about some of these questions. So ask your small groups these questions. Why do you think we're sometimes more tempted to listen to foolish advice over godly advice? So ask that question. Why do you think we're sometimes more tempted to listen to foolish advice over godly advice? Discuss, can you think of a time you followed foolish advice, and what was the result of following that foolish advice? Talk about what's one step you can take this week to seek wise counsel from someone you trust. And then also, who is that person in your life that you can seek for that godly and wise counsel? How can you pursue that relationship more intentionally? And hopefully it's your parents, first and foremost, but then also seek your D group leader. Seek the leaders in the youth group and the leaders in the church as well. So think about those questions as we dismiss to small groups. But let me pray, and then high school stays in here, middle school, we're over there. Okay, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time just to study your word, as we just were able to walk through the book of Proverbs and just survey it on what it has to say about foolish counsel in contrast to godly and wise counsel. Lord, I pray that our desire is to seek that godly counsel and wise counsel, even if it's hard to hear at times, Lord, but that wise and godly counsel is loving, is life-giving, and we need to hear it from time to time as we seek to grow in our relationship with you, as we seek to be more godly and be more Christ-like in our everyday lives. Lord, we thank you for this time, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.